All right, we want to praise the Lord on this Lord's Day Sunday night, March the 26th, last Sunday of March. We're in a series tonight, be preaching about a lost man. Went from a lonely man to a lost man, and he'll end up being a loved man in the last part of this three-part series here. But we got some special singing tonight. I think Brother Patrick's going to sing. Lucy and Chase are going to sing. I think maybe even Sarah's going to sing. I ain't got it all down pat yet, but we want to go to the Lord in prayer before we do anything. I want to remember Sister Vonnie and Deanna, Billy's wife. Yeah. We want to lift them up in prayer. Remember, I think this week supposed to be a bunch of tornadoes come through again. And we want to remember, I think the number is up to 26 down there in Mississippi, Alabama. We want to remember them. And we'll go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we thank you for the beautiful day you've given us.
Yeah.
We thank you, Father, for the good service this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege to live in a free country. Lord, will we have a say, Lord, in what we want to do for each day? We're not told, Lord, what we can't do, what we can. I thank you, Lord, for the freedom of this country, for the blessing of America. I thank you, Lord, for Calvary. Lord, you truly set us free. Lord, at the cross, when you said, Father, forgive them, they know not what to do. And Lord, we want to pray for Vonnie tonight. We want to pray for her. We want to pray for her sister, her daughter-in-law, Deanna, Billy's wife. Lord, both of them, no doubt, Lord, heartbroken and grieving. Yeah. Lord, you're the God of all comfort. I pray you'll go and comfort them and carry them and console them through this terrible valley. Lord, we know Billy's in a better place. But Lord, being here, Father, Lord, that don't stop us from grieving and missing him. We'd like to be with him. Lord, if you'd be willing, we'd sure make our exodus, Lord, even tonight. If you'd be willing, Lord, we're waiting on you, and Lord, we're watching for you coming, and we pray for Bonnie and pray for Deanna tonight. Lord, I pray for the people down in Mississippi, Alabama, that thank Lord, 26 people have been confirmed dead, probably more are going to be, Lord, added to that number. We pray for them. Lord, pray you be with them, help them to rebuild, help them recover, help them, Lord, I pray to Lord, to find in you, Lord, the comfort, Lord, and the comfort of your word. The Bible mentioned in Romans chapter 15 that we, through the comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Send them some comfort. Send them some hope down there, Lord. And Father, we pray for this week. Supposed to be more bad weather, more tornadoes supposed to be coming this week. Lord, we pray for whatever even gets here. The Lord, you'll put a hedge up, a hedge of protection, watch over us. Keep us as the apple of your eye. Lord, in you, Lord, we know there's safety. We pray, Lord, you just keep us on the palm of your hand and the shadow of your wing. We know, Lord, your word says in Psalm 91 that under the shadow of the Almighty, Lord, we'll abide safely. We pray for that, Lord. And bless this service, Lord, tonight. Bless your name here tonight, Lord. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. I'll tell you right now, I appreciate Brother Patrick singing tonight. I didn't really feel like singing. I was going to sing anyway, but I appreciate him being willing to sing tonight. And I'd like to thank Carolyn for that good food she sent.
Yeah, boy,
man, my wife loved that cooked cabbage. Mm-hmm. My wife, she eats some of them beans, some of that cooked cabbage. And I don't. Come on, bro. Don't you know I got my fill too? I wore it out. It was really good. We appreciate that good food.
Amen.
I washed her bowl up. Forgot to bring it back.
Well, I still got a little bit. I plan on finishing it off, and I'm gonna bring it too.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good cornbread. Good beans.
Boy.
Good cabbage. And real good.
I want to write this song, and some of them, these parts of this song might be hard to hit, so I'm gonna try.
Bless his heart.
I might get premium on YouTube, and we got to deal with this.
Bless you.
Send me anyway.
Oh,
yeah. I live with the past, I can't get past, and it still haunts me. So I'm asking for the courage to make a change. By your grace, I have hope.
Yeah.
You've already paid every debt I owe.
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
Please take my change and make me see.
Yeah.
That by your grace, yeah, I've been set free.
Yeah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
bird from prison bars of flown. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away.
Singing there, Chasey, Lucy and Chasey. Good job singing. Jesus said out of the mouth of babes,
yeah,
have perfected priests. And one reason for that is, you know, they're just going to keep growing up.
Yeah.
And we're just going to keep leaving out. And they're just getting ready to take our place. Amen. Amen. I appreciate right. these young people.
Yes, Lord.
Appreciate them standing for the Lord, singing for the Lord.
Amen.
Just remember, they ain't always going to be little. Won't be too long. Lucy will come in here, have have pigtails, have freckles, and all that stuff. They're just little for now. They're not going to be little for long. Amen.
She'll have to sing for Daddy eventually.
Joy that singing. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Like I said, I enjoyed that food that Carolyn sent.
Yeah.
That was some fine fixings, amen. I'm all about eating. I'll tell you right now, I got all into that.
Yeah.
Took care of my wife and went and fixed me a plate. Then I fixed me another plate and then took me a little short Baptist nap, amen.
Amen.
But Genesis chapter number 3 tonight, and we're going to be talking about a lost man. I've been there.
Yeah,
sure right. have.
Amen.
I'm not there no more, but I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
We'll start our reading in verse Genesis chapter 3, verse number 7. Genesis chapter 3, verse 7, and we'll read all the way to verse number 11. You know, I'll tell you what, that's just 11 verses. I'm going to start at verse 1, read all the way to verse 11. Reason I was going to read verse 7, that's when they knew they were naked. We'll start at verse 1 of Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtile than any beast of the field. Patrick had an encounter with a serpent today, and he said he bruised that head pretty good. But this serpent was more subtile than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, a lot of people make a big deal about a snake talking, but this snake didn't have the curse on it at this time. And it got the curse, and in verse 14, but the curse hadn't been on it right here. We know the snake after the curse, but we don't know the snake before the curse.
Now, there was a donkey talk one time.
Yeah, to Balaam.
Yeah, to Balaam.
Yeah. 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 And God can talk through anything He wants.
Amen.
But
Amen.
This is a serpent. He said to the woman, yeah, God said. That question of the authority of God and the Scripture, the Word of God, come from a serpent. And I believe it's in Ezekiel, I believe it's in Ezekiel chapter 28, thou hast been in the garden of God. Well, here is that serpent, and it's a type of the devil. And he said, yeah, have God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? At question mark. A lot of people want to question the word of God. And here it is being questioned by the serpent. And the woman said unto the serpent, she's having a conversation with this serpent. And like I said, we don't know what that serpent was like before the curse.
No.
And now that it has the curse, it's one of the curses is going to be on his belly. Thou shalt go. So it may have probably a lot of change in this serpent. Said, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest you die. And she kind of added to the word of God right there, because God told Adam, he said, of all the all the trees of the garden, he said, thou mayest freely eat, but he said, in the day that thou eatest of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. The Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the woman added, you shall not touch it. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, but abstain from the presence of evil. But anyway, and the serpent, it showed also that she wasn't as knowledgeable. I believe Adam had more knowledge of the commandment than the woman did.
Yeah.
Because God spoke to him and then created the woman. But the serpent corrected the woman in verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. And that one word, not, is the only word that he put in there that wasn't in what God said. God said, you shall surely die. And that little three-letter word right there. He said also, for God doeth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. Now he's telling the truth right here. And ye shall know, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw, you know, I believe she is so afraid of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I don't believe her nor Adam even looked in that direction. But when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desired to be make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. This is our text verse right there. But right here is when they knew they'd made a mistake. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And we'll stop our reading right there. And like I said, verse 7 is our text verse. And we'll preaching tonight on a lost man. Lord, we pray, Lord Father, tonight for your blessings. Yes. We thank you, Lord, for the blessing we've already had with the singing. Lord, we pray you continue that blessing with the preaching of your word. Open our eyes. Lord, open our understanding. Lord, set, I pray, a table before us, Father, that we can sup with you and you with us. And may we partake of the things of God tonight. Lord, we don't know what this week's going to hold, but I'm pretty excited about your coming. I don't believe it's far off. And I would to God, Lord, you would come and get us. Lord, I about had my fill down here of sin, about had my fill down here of the mocking and sarcasm. Lord, it just seemed like people are just not interested in eternity. I thank you, Father, for these that are here tonight. Pray your blessings, dear Father, tonight upon our efforts, dear Lord, tonight. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. That lost man. You see that brought out in verse number 7. They knew they were naked. Notice Genesis chapter 2 verse 25. They were both naked, the man and his wife. They were not ashamed. They were innocent before they eat of that tree. Yeah. They had no knowledge of sin. They had no knowledge of their nakedness. You know, when I was a little boy, I had to admit, streak through the house, not a stitch on. It didn't bother me a bit. But when I got a little older, I wanted to have a towel around me, have some clothes on. That acknowledgement there, Paul talked about it. He said, I had not known sin except by the law in Romans chapter 7, verse number 7. And Paul also said, by one man, sin entered into the world, right, and death by sin, so death had passed upon all men in Romans chapter 5, verse 12. And he went a little further to say, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, Adam and Eve knew no sin in Genesis chapter 2, verse 25. But because of that disobedience, because, you know, I agree with Eve saying I was beguiled. You know, Jesus, one of the things He said in the last days, in Matthew chapter number 24, He said, take heed that no man deceive you.
Yeah.
Now, that serpent tried to contradict what God said. When that serpent said, you shall not surely die, that didn't change the outcome. I'll tell you, death, the sentence of death come from sin. The Bible tells us that sin, when it's finished, it brings forth death there in James chapter 1. And in Romans chapter 6 verse 23, the wages of sin is death. Thank God it don't stop there, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus the Lord. But I'm telling you, sin got in, and it got in because of disobedience. God had given Adam the law in Genesis 2 verse 16, 17, which we read a while ago. And now that they knew that they were naked, I want you to know they tried to do something about it. And all of us, when we sin, we try to do something about it. And the one thing I'll commend Adam and Eve for, Sarah, they didn't lie.
That's
we'll
right.
get to that here in a minute.
Yes, that's right.
But, you know, I've noticed we don't do that today. We're quick to give some kind of story about what actually happened. Mm-hmm. Thank God for video. These policemen now, they have to wear some kind of camera on them, some kind of a recording, so that they can defend themselves against the lies that are lifted up against them.
Yeah.
You know, the criminals say, well, he didn't read me into my rights. And they got that video cam now, and it says you got the right to remain silent. They don't use it. They just keep on, you know, incriminating themselves. And they say, anything you say, Miranda, bless her heart. I miss Miranda, but she said, I was having trouble remembering Miranda's name. She said, Brother Eddie, just remember my name by the Miranda rights. I ain't forgot her name since. But you got the right to be silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in the court of law. Those Miranda rights, people, you know, when they get in trouble, or when they get arrested, or when they get pulled over. I mean, the policemen, I don't know how they do their job, but that's what they hear is one lie after another lie.
Yeah.
Well, Adam,
they have to wear them body cams.
Yeah, so they can cover, you know, defend themselves, so they can cover the truth of what actually happened, just for the sake of the policemen, because they get lied on so much, like Brother Ed said right there. But this serpent here, he told him, he said, you shall not surely die, and it didn't change the sentence against sin. And like I said, sin entered into the world, and the first thing they tried to do is they tried to hide their sin there in verse number 7. So they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together. I got clothes on tonight.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I do. But there was a time in my life, I'm 69, Well, it didn't matter what I had them on or not. My mama, bless her heart, she spent most of her time when I was little putting my clothes on and finding where I put them at. But a little child, they're innocent. They have no knowledge
right.
of their nakedness. Like I said, when I got older, I'd scream out. Somebody see me and I didn't have sufficient clothing on, I'd scream out and take off running. And that's one of the products of sin. They knew they were naked. Every mother knows what I'm talking about here tonight. You know, they've put clothes on their babies and told their babies get something on. And when the babies are young, they just laugh. They think it's funny. But there's a time that mama don't have to tell them no more.
That's right.
Yeah. They put clothes on. Well, here Adam and Eve, now they know they're naked. Sin. Not only, that they knew they were sin, but the product of sin. They're ashamed now of their nakedness. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And that wasn't sufficient for the problem. And, the Lord, praise God, came seeking them in verse number 9. And they tried to hide themselves when they heard the Lord, when they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. It said Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. You know, when I realized I was a sinner, and it didn't take too long, not only did I try to hide my sin, but I'll tell you what, I tried to hide from getting caught too. I tried to sneak around.
Yeah, that's right.
I ain't said, but as a young man, the people I hung around with was a bad influence on me. And you need to be careful about who you hang around with.
Amen.
But we practiced shoplifting. And we was pretty good at it. We'd go in, a whole bunch of us go in. One of them be looking around and the other be deciding what we need. We'd slip out of the store, have this stuff that we hadn't paid for. And Lucy, there was a guy followed me out one day and said, "I need to talk to you." And I said, "What's the matter?" He said, "I think you've got some things that don't belong to you." And I had tried to hide them, but I hadn't hid them good enough. And it was embarrassing when he got that little... You remember back in little wooden airplanes you put together and you'd throw them, they'd fly. It wasn't like, 10 cents.
Yeah.
But I had one, I hadn't paid for it. He got that thing out. He said, "Who's your mother and father? I'm going to call them and tell you." And I want you to know, buddy, I didn't want to tell him who my mother and father was. The shame of that. Well, here Adam and Eve are. Now they know they're naked. Now they know they've made a mistake. Now they're trying to hide it. They made themselves aprons. Every sinner does the same thing that Adam and Eve does here. I remember trying to remember who it was. Used to hide a bottle of whiskey out there in the barn and slip out there and get a drink every now and then. Maybe my pastor told this. I'm trying to remember if it. I know my grandfather had cooked moonshine and he had moonshine hit everywhere. But my pastor was telling about a drunk that had a bottle of whiskey hung out there, hid out there in the barn, and he'd go out there and get him a little drink, come back to the house, act like he hadn't drunk nothing or nothing. And Chase had come up real big snow the night before. And he thought he'd ease out there to the barn, get him a little drink, come back to the house, pretend that he hadn't drunk nothing, And he heard something behind him. He looked back there and there was a little boy following him. Every step he'd make, that little boy would make a step. He said, "What are you doing, boy?" He said, "I'm following your footsteps, Daddy." And it finally come together in his mind that little boy was following him to his sin. And he said, "No, you're not going to follow me in this way." And he stopped that drinking. That little boy got through that old calloused heart. But we all try to hide it. And they did. They tried to hide it with aprons. They tried to hide from the presence of the Lord.
Right.
I'm glad the Lord came seeking. And Jesus came to seek and to save them that are lost. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, that seeking Savior, He still seeks sinners today. And lost people, they don't love light, they love darkness. John chapter 3, verse 19. And it's a whole lot easier to hide in the dark places. Back years ago, back when I was a drunk, I'd go to the bars, and Brother Ed, it'd be dark in there.
Yeah,
you wouldn't even know who was in there.
No.
And you wanted to be dark. You didn't want nobody to know you was in there. Right. You didn't want to be seen in there, but you wanted to be in there.
Right.
Darkness and sin have a lot in common. Mm-hmm. And I was down there, you know, down Bowling Green, down there at the bar, and seen somebody I knew try to slip out, get out before they seen me. But that's the way it is. They tried, you know, to hide themselves. And lost people, they don't come to the light lest their deeds be reproved, John said, John chapter 3, verse 20. But I want you to notice, light came to them. Yeah. Jesus is the light of the world. Verse number 8. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. God come to them, Brother Ed. He's bringing light to them. Yeah. They're in darkness. They're in trouble. And I'm glad Jesus didn't leave me in my sin. I appreciate that song Brother Patrick just sung a while ago there. I'm glad I found grace. I'm glad I found forgiveness. I'm glad He cleaned me up. I'm glad He didn't leave me like I was. Amen. Well, Adam and Eve had both sinned. You know how we are? We just say, well, they'll figure it out. But God didn't leave them like that. He come to them. He said, I'm going to help you with this problem you got. I'm glad for the love of God. I'm glad for the grace of God. Boy, I'm glad He didn't leave me in the predicament I was in. I'm glad He didn't do like maybe my mom, my dad did, say He'll figure it out. Won't take Him long to learn the lesson. And you know, I'm telling you, the love of God, He come and said, walking in the garden in the cool of the day, He come looking for two lost sinners, amen. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. I can just see that. Here Jesus is walking, probably coming straight towards them. And they're over there crouching down saying, shh.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, the Lord knew what they needed. He knew everything there was to know. Verse 9 said, the Lord God called unto Adam, and the Lord knew where he was. But the Lord said unto Adam, where art thou? Boy, I'm glad not only He come seeking them, but I'm glad He come calling out to them. And notice the fear that they had. In verse 10, Adam says, I heard thy voice.
Yes.
That's why we got two ears. Adam said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. You know, until I realized God was my friend, Brother Ed, I didn't run to Him. I ran from Him.
That's right.
Until I got to know Him personally.
Yeah, that's
right. I'm glad He sought me.
Yes, Lord.
What's that song? Victory in Jesus.
Yeah.
He loved me ere I knew Him. He loved me even when I was a sinner. And He come seeking me. Come calling out to me. And you know what? I may not have understood my situation, but He did.
Yeah.
But it took me 34 years, really, to get to where I needed to be in the Lord. But God come walking, God come calling, and God says to Adam, where art thou, Adam?
Yeah.
Adam could just easily have said, I'm in sin, God.
Right.
I'm glad He didn't leave him in sin. I'm glad He didn't leave me and sin. And even though Adam didn't understand all there was to know about this situation, he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. He said, I was afraid because I was naked. And he said, I hid myself. Now here comes the confrontation here. Now Adam's done confessed right here. And in fear, he said, I was afraid. And in that fear, he told the truth.
Yeah.
You know, you catch a little child and through fear, they'll tell you the truth.
Yes,
he said, I was naked and I hid myself. And God spoke to Adam. He said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? This confrontation here in verse number 11. I'll tell you one thing I like about this is Adam didn't lie.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Now, in our day and time, no, what wasn't me. You know, Cain did lie. We'll mention that here in a second. When God asked Cain, where is your brother? In Genesis chapter 4, verse 9, Cain said, I know not. He just killed his brother. He said, am I my brother's keeper? Well, Adam didn't lie, and Eve didn't lie neither. And the man said, the woman, he did blame the woman, the woman whom thou gavest me to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. Now if Chase and Lucy got in some kind of trouble, first thing he's going to do is he's going to blame Lucy, and Lucy's going to blame Chase. But you know what? That's just the way we are. Instead of saying, it's me, oh Lord, we try to say, it's our fault. They did it, but here, Adam didn't lie. I like that. And Eve didn't lie. Look at verse 13. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Both of those answers are true answers.
Yeah.
Both of those answers, no lying, just confessing. You know, the Bible says with the mouth confession is made.
Right.
Romans chapter 10, verse 9.
Yeah.
With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. I'm just telling you, Adam, he didn't lie. Eve didn't lie. But that condemnation of sin, Genesis chapter 3, verse number 16, it brought a sentence. You know, it came to Eve first. You know, we hear that ladies first. This may have been where that come from. Eve got condemnation before Adam did. And God spoke to that woman and he said, well, let's read on down. The Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. You see a snake slithering along the ground? That tongue's out there licking the dirt, licking the dust up as it goes across the ground. And the Lord told the serpent, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed.
Yeah.
It shall bruise thy head. Brother Patrick, he took care of some of that today. He told me he done a pretty good job bruising the head of that snake today. Yeah. And he said, and thou shall bruise his heel. That's a commitment of Calvary from the Lord God.
Yes.
And you know, he's talking about Calvary right here. They didn't understand it. I think the serpent may have understood it, because the Bible talks about it. Wiser than Daniel, I believe he may have understood this.
Yeah.
But you know, the Lord committed himself right here to be the supreme Redeemer, to be the supreme sacrifice for the sin of Adam and Eve. But he talks to the woman, verse 16, like I said, ladies first, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. He said, in sorrow shall thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now I know we've lost sight of women today.
Oh my.
And Kentucky Jackson, the Supreme Court nominee, the only qualification she had was she is black and transgender. But they asked her, Martha Blackburn said, can you describe a woman to me? And here this grown woman, Kentucky Jackson, said, no, I can't. I don't understand that. But you know, today, the battle against women still goes on today. We got Riley, I can't think of her last name, an Olympic swimmer, and Leah, whatever its last name is, Thomas, I believe, Leah Thomas. Shoulders this wide, arms maybe a foot longer than Riley. I'll try to remember her last name. I'm just reading about that a little bit today. It's an unfair advantage of a transgender man, that the only difference between him and Riley, a woman, is the fact he's a man, she's a woman.
Yeah.
He's a stronger vessel, she's a weaker vessel. But in this insane hour we're living in, they want to deny the fact that he's a man and make exception because he claims that he's a transgender woman. I just want you to know this curse here came upon the woman. God said, going to be some problems here. And he said, thy desire shall be to thy husband. You know, my wife, she looked to me for the needs. I don't know how many times she said, what are we going to do? And you know, I'd go out and I'd get a job or I'd go out, I'd borrow money, and we'd just try to go a little further. But the wife looks up to the husband
right.
to protect, to provide. And you know, it ought to be to pray. You know, the head of the house, he ought to be the one saying, we're going to turn thanks on this food.
That's right.
I hate to admit this, but I was in such a hurry to eat them good old them mixed beans that Carolyn fixed and that cabbage that I forgot to turn thanks before I eat it. But I remembered it at the end. I said, Lord, forgive me. I want you to bless this food that I've just eaten. I wanted you to bless it, but I forgot. You know, in these minds, these feeble minds, these frail bodies, sometimes we forget. But I remembered it there at the end after I'd done eat it all, and I said, Lord, I'm sorry I forgot, and asked Him to bless. But you know, that head of that house, God set that up that way. That man is stronger. His shoulders are wider. And God told that woman, thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Don't take that the wrong way. God's just helping the woman out here. Her shoulders, you know, most women, they're either having a nervous breakdown or they're right in the middle of having one. Mm-hmm. They can just take so much. But we got so many men down here that won't be men. Especially in how we're living in. Most of them got lace on the underwear. And you know, they're trying to be something they're not. God called the man to be a man.
Yeah.
And He's going to confront this man here in just a minute. But that woman, her shoulders aren't wide enough. Her arms aren't strong enough. Her back's not strong enough. She's supposed to be the helpmate. And the man won't be the man. And the woman's having to step up, play the role of the father, the husband. And you know, that head of that house, he ought to say, we're going to church this Sunday. Hey, we're going to turn thanks over this food. Hey, we're going to do it God's way. Somebody needs to be in charge. God said the man's in charge.
Hallelujah.
This judgment God brought on the woman first. But then He got on to Adam there in verse 17. And unto Adam He said, but God didn't mention His words neither.
No.
Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and has eaten of the tree. You know, I like it when my wife says something, and it's in the will of God, and I don't even have to even say anything. I'm in a total agreement, but when my wife is in contradiction of the Word of God, I'm kind of like old Joshua. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. There ought to be more agreement, not disagreement, when it comes to God. How can two walk together except they be in agreement? I'm just telling you that that beauty of that marriage, that blessing of that marriage is more enhanced when you're both saved, when you both love the Lord, when you're both in agreement with what thus saith the Word of God. It's a whole lot better, amen.
Amen.
Me and Brother Ed, we know what I'm talking about. We wasn't always in agreement.
No.
I was fishing on Sunday, and he was fishing on Sunday.
Yeah.
Our family, our wives had enough sense to take our children to church.
Yeah.
And even though we wasn't there, they did. It shouldn't have been that way. But Adam says, God said to Adam, because you have hearkened to the voice of thy wife and has eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of. God said, Adam, you didn't listen to me. And you went ahead and eat of that tree. God said, because that you eat of what I told you not to, God said, cursed is the ground for thy sake. That's why I think we need to turn thanks over food before we eat it. That ground's cursed. God's only one I know can turn that curse into a blessing.
Yes.
I think cancer is a byproduct of this curse right here. I think we need to start praying. Brother Ed, bless his heart, he said he even prayed over the medicine before he'd give it to his wife, Karen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got a blessing just hearing about that. But you know what? It's what we're eating. It's what's killing us. Amen. You know, here God says, Adam, cursed is the ground for thy sake. He said, in sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Boy, this didn't come without a penalty. This didn't come without a price. They didn't eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil and get away with it. I want you to know God, He's the judge of all the earth. Abraham said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? He'll do right every time. It's us that has a problem with doing right. Amen. He said here, thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. He said, in the sweat of thy face that shalt thou eat bread, till thou return to the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Yeah. Adam lost his throne right here. Yeah. You know, he disobeyed God, and death came into the world. Sin came into the world, and death by sin. I'm telling you, Adam was defeated in the garden, but that second Adam, buddy, he got it back. He said, behold, I'm he that was dead, and I'm alive forevermore. I got the keys, amen, of death and hell. I'm glad that second Adam secured what that first Adam left, amen. Sin brings condemnation. Cain cried out, my punishment is greater than I can bear. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 13, he was the first murderer, and the Bible tells us why he was a murderer. Because he was of that wicked one. Yeah. That's sad.
Yeah.
You see, sin, it brings a product.
Yes, it does.
You know, Cain could have been blessed. But because this disobedient Cain, that firstborn, he was of that wicked one. I can't explain it. I don't have the answers. But I'll tell you what, it caused him to be a murderer. Caused him to kill his brother Abel. And it tells you why. Because he's jealous of the righteousness of his brother. I'll just tell you, the hour we're living in, it ain't going to be long. They're going to start coming into churches. Neither arresting people or shooting them. I don't know which is going to be.
Yeah.
But that Cain spirit is alive and well today. And I'll tell you, buddy, he was of that wicked one. We got a bunch down here that's of that wicked one. But the Bible tells us, he's talking about that punishment because of his sin of killing his brother Abel. My punishment's greater than I can bear. The Bible tells us the way of transgressors is hard in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 15. You know what? This lost man right here, we're going to get him saved in the next message on this Adam series here.
Yes.
But I want to know before we get to that next message, thank God for Calvary. I was just as lost as Adam was. And the same Lord God that sought him sought me. And I'm so thankful that even with all my hiding, all my excuses and all my sins, I'm glad he never gave up. I'm glad he kept on till old Eddie Wade got saved. And I thank God for Calvary, till the ground is level at the cross. And thank God though millions have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for me. I slid in there, Brother Ed. I laid hold on eternal life. I got a refuge for my soul. And I want you to know our next lesson, I'm really excited about it. But thank God for Calvary. Thank God for a Savior. Thank God for the Word of God that tells us not only our sins, our mistakes, but the solution to our sins is Jesus. Jesus Christ came to this world to save sinners. I want you to know Jesus Christ came to seek and save that which is lost. Amen. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. Lost man. A lonely man. And our next message will be a loved man. And it'll be about God taking care of Adam's problem. Father, we thank you for the thought for the night. Thank you for the message. Thank you for the good singing. Thank you, Lord, for all that are here tonight, all that listen by way of the internet, by way of the live stream. We give you praise and glory tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Okay, Miss Tanny, it's yours.
All right. Anybody got a question? Or hold on just a second here, buddy. Let me turn this thing off.